Jim Rutledge.
For me, Jordan Love can start shutting people up by just winning the damn division one time.
Molly Brown.
You should be going further than getting a 7 seed and not winning a playoff game. That is a fact. You should be getting further with this team that you have.
Welcome to Wisconsin's Afternoon Hangout.
You think the Packers would win 5?
Yes, that's what I said.
Neutral field?
I said it 3 times. 5 and 5.
Why?
This is Molly and Jim, presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
It's good to hear you're still a positive person after working with Jim for as long as you have.
Alongside Molly Brown, here's Jim Rutledge.
We are presented by Coors Light. The mountains are always blue, and sometimes we are chill, Molly. And we asked a question right before we went to break super late to end the last hour. But I do think it's something I'd like to revisit here. 844-770-3776. That is the Carbo Stock text line. List is more. And you can see us on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream. You can chime in on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream as well if you'd like. But I want to ask this question of, like, would the Packers have a Super Bowl right now if they never traded Davante Adams?
I mean, they were a play or 2 minutes away from beating the 49ers to go to the NFC Championship. So, and then I'm trying to think, who would they have played if they would have beat the Niners in the NFC Championship? Do either of you remember?
No.
I can't remember either off the top of my head.
Was that the Lions?
I can't
remember.
Was
that that year?
Let me see if I can find the history of it. But
when the Lions choked against the Niners in the NFC Championship game?
That might have been, and then the Niners went on to play the Chiefs?
Yes.
They might have got to the Super Bowl, but I don't think you ever rule out the Chiefs. So I don't know if they would have beat the Chiefs. But if they had Davante Adams that year, they had a strong chance to go to a Super Bowl for sure.
Yeah, and out of that trade, it looks like they got Quay Walker and Christian Watson. So.
Because Christian Watson was drafted second round.
And then they got a first and second round pick out of that. So they used Quay with the first and Watson in the second. This is just a quick Google search. So regardless, so obviously those players are good. But like, just imagine subbing in a Davante Adams played and Christian Watson missed a lot of times.
Yep.
Time to Davante Adams, because you have that 1 year with Aaron Rodgers too. So Davante Adams, he catches that ball for that Christian Watson drop to start the season that everyone points to.
I mean, okay, that doesn't lead to a Super Bowl, but sure.
Right. I know. I'm just saying that, like, the sliding door side of it. But Jordan Love having Davante Adams, like, look at the games that the Packers have let slip out of their fingers. Like, that's the time a guy like Davante Adams matters the most.
Do you think that if they would have kept, like, if they would have kept him for that year, that he'd still be on the team to this day?
Well, I mean, I guess that's the,
like, is that the game that we're playing here?
Yeah,
like,
he's only 33.
If he was still on the team.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, he's had, even last year, he had 1,000 yards. Like, he's number 10 in the freaking NFL for wide receivers, and he's 30-something years old. Like, he's still incredibly productive. And he didn't even play every single game last year either.
Yeah, so I can tell you right now. So, since leaving Green Bay, he caught 100 passes for 1,500 yards and 14 touchdowns, then 103 for 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns. I'm not great at math here. So he did catch over 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns, and it looks like maybe 90 catches with two teams, the Jets and the Raiders in 2024. And then with the Rams, yeah, 60 catches, 789 yards, and 14 touchdowns. So still a productive player. So those years are, he hasn't really fallen off. Maybe, yeah, he's fallen off from like being top 5 to being maybe top 10, obviously.
Yeah.
So top 10 receiver, I think, makes a big difference for Jordan Love. Super Bowl, probably not.
Yeah. I wonder how Jordan Love feels about it. Like, because I know that Davante, I think it was when he was still with the Vegas Raiders, that he had like a social post or something come out where he like commended Jordan Love for like how incredible he's been playing and blah, blah, blah. And you almost like sense like a regret, and maybe that's just a Packers thing where you're like, yeah, you regret not being with us. But yeah, I almost wonder what both their careers would look like if he would have been able to stay. Now, granted, I do not hate that he left, because I think the Packers did him so dirty.
Yep. I look at that trade as one of those rare, like, everyone won out of it. The Packers got two young players that were useful for them. They got some cap space out of it. But Davante Adams, yes, he hasn't won, but last year he did. You know, like, and so he is still ending up in a place where...
These are two trash organizations until he's with the LA Rams.
Like, right, yeah. So, you know, that's, I think, one way to look at it is that it still worked out in his favor. That he got, what, to the NFC Championship game last year?
Yep.
And
should have won. Oh, remember his post game interview at his locker? How just like devastating that was. Ugh.
He has Super Bowl number one contender. He's on with the Rams again this year. So, yep. And he was putting up numbers with the Raiders with his best friend. So, and then he went with the Jets with Aaron Rodgers. At least he had Aaron Rodgers there. So, there's probably like a total of 12 months that Davante Adams regretted being away from the Packers.
At least he had Aaron Rodgers there.
They're friends. They're friends. Mm-hmm. Right?
I wonder if him and Derek Carr are still friends, too. You wonder that?
Like, you're so bad, I can't be your friend.
Yeah,
anymore.
Exactly. Like, wow, you really, like, you sucked so bad, and you left me here with this horrible organization, and you promised that we were going to play together.
Well, Devontae was the one who was like, ah, it's great going from one Hall of Fame quarterback to another.
True.
Riley, what I hear out of that is that if we don't hold on to, at the end of the donkey here for the show, Molly will not be our friends.
Yeah.
That's basically it.
She's going to go from one future Hall of Fame show to another.
Because if you potentially destroy my career by being crummy at your job, like, of course I should hold it against you. Should I not? Should I not? No, you guys both know I'm right.
No,
and you guys should both feel the exact same way.
You should be a forgiving person and learn from our mistakes.
Make us better, Molly.
Yeah, elevate.
Oh, I'm sorry. What could Davante Adams do for Derek freaking Carr?
I'm talking about you.
Yes.
This is Molly and Jim. I want to get to the Packers' identity this year, but... Molly, you and I were talking before the show about, like, just the most embarrassing things to, like, be rescued from or, like, recover from. And I keep on getting served this.
I can't remember what this is.
Keep on getting served on Twitter here. Of firefighters in Kansas City were forced to cut apart a portable toilet after a man somehow became trapped beneath the seat.
Like a porta potty?
Yeah. I don't.
Wait, what?
This was, like, today.
How do you? Are there seats on a... Yeah, I guess so. How do you get trapped underneath?
I don't know.
Did he crawl in?
I don't know. Like, I don't care.
The only way, you either crawl or you fall.
Is he super skinny? Like,
I was going to say, you got to be the size of my, like, three-year-old. To,
right,
like,
they didn't say child. Because, like, if said three-year-old fell in, I would at least think twice. But, like, do I really want to go get them out of here? I mean, like, a porta-potty is disgusting. Like,
yeah.
I always think of, like, pits. At, like, state parks, too, which are scarier because they're deeper.
Oh, see, those freak me out. Because when we went on, like, a camping trip, this was, like, our one and only camping trip because it was a horrific experience. It was, like, one of those things, yeah, like, in the woods where it's just a hole. And I'm like, what's going to crawl out of this hole? Like, is there going to be...
All right, so at state park, they have, like, a facility around. But it's basically a toilet that goes into a big pit.
No, see, I have a fear of a snake crawling up. I have a fear of a hand coming up. I have a fear of an animal crawling out of there. I have
the psychopath that would be in a pit.
I don't freaking know.
Next level.
You know what? Wisconsin is known. Wisconsin is known for serial killers. Why would there not be like a serial killer in the toilet thingy? Don't you have a fear? Like when we went on said horrific camping trip, I didn't go to the bathroom the whole time because I was like, I'm not doing it. I'm literally not doing it.
No, I mean,
I would rather burst my bladder than.
Like obviously for a guy one is easier, but for I had to like convince Tanya one time we went camping and they had pits and I'm like, let's just go to town because I was like, I'm not doing my business. It won't happen. Like my body's not gonna allow it to happen. So like we had to go to like a gas station and I was like, I'll see you in 20 minutes. So but
jeez.
Like I'm kidding. But,
no, you're not. I don't think you are. You're just embarrassed that I said geez.
I mean, I don't think a 20 minutes in the public restroom, I'm not just sitting around hanging out. So, like, that's a long time, literally. So, like, with, like, to your point, you're talking to the person that, like, I have a camper. 80% of the reason why is that I didn't want to use the public bathrooms at a campsite. So, And my kids didn't want to.
100% Yeah. I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
Marcus on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream says he was looking for his phone. I helped pull him out. He was a stink bomb. Also, who pulled him out? The fire department?
Yeah.
How embarrassing.
That's what I, like, that's what I wanted to get to. Do you just take the L?
Like, are you just like coated in blue crap, also, literally? Like, I can't.
How short is this person? Because I don't think the porta potty's that deep. Like, maybe just stand up.
I don't. What is the bottom of a porta potty? I genuinely don't know how a porta potty works, how it goes.
But they're not that tall. Like, if down? I stood next to a porta potty, I don't. There's. It's not double my height.
A porta. Yeah. No. I mean, for me, it might be.
Yeah. So maybe it's a short man.
I don't.
Because I'd be doing everything humanly possible to get myself out first without having.
For sure. like for sure.
My last resort is the humiliation of being rescued from a porta potty.
By like bottom. A hot firefighter.
I don't care if it's an ugly firefighter.
I would be mortified because, you know, as soon as the fire truck pulls up, as soon as there starts to be like a presence of emergency people, people are going to gather.
Yes.
Like,
because
yeah, you could have a crowd, like 50 to 100 people watching you pulled out.
Yes, we all want to see, we all slow down to watch the car accident on the side of the road, okay? We all look to see if there's somebody on the stretcher, okay? Like, that is exactly what this person, like,
this blue Smurf pulled out.
Oh, God, yeah. I can't.
That's
one
of those where you're
can't.
Like, maybe it's better I don't make it. Like,
let me just die here in this pit of poo.
Also,
like, gross.
Would you ever feel clean again in your life?
No. I would have to.
Eventually. Not for the rest of that day. Probably next couple days. You'd feel gross.
I would have nightmares.
Do you tell anybody?
You don't have a choice. You're in the news.
Yeah. This is it was on.
Do people know it's you? I'm looking right now. It's in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Firefighters were forced to cut apart the porta potty to save the man trapped beneath the seat.
Jeez.
How does that happen? Like, I just don't understand, like, actually the fundamentals of it.
What's more embarrassing, that he fell in underneath the seat or he can't get out? So is he, like, collapsed in, like, his arms and legs?
I don't know how you get under the seat. I genuinely don't know.
Oh, goodness.
I'm mortified for this person. I'm trying to see if I can proofread Rick and Madison's text before I read it out loud.
Well, go ahead and give that a try there if you...
Okay, Rick and Madison, my brother is an FBI agent. The guy was running from police and tried to hide from the police.
Oh, what? There you go.
What?
So he hid
that
from
could
the police.
Be, oh, that I see. That honestly is a more plausible explanation than someone falling.
Totally true, he said. I don't know. And then he said that's a crappy place to hide, but used a different word.
I like the pun. I like the pun there. 844-770-3776. That's Carbon Stock text line. List is more. Let me tell you about Simnon Chevy in Mount Horeb. Only minutes away from a better buying experience at Simnon Chevy in Mount Horeb. So go see my good friends, Tyler, and the whole crew out there. Aaron is the other good friend I have over there. And go see them. And whether it's a new or new to you Silverado or Colorado, go check out my friends at Simnon Chevy in Mount Horeb. The Packers are a defensive team or a offensive team this upcoming season?
I still don't have enough faith in the defense. Like, I feel like there's still massive holes. Probably still offense, but honestly, it's probably the closest that it's ever been in my mind.
So if the Packers were going to win a Super Bowl, and you can chime in on this 844-770-3776, Carbon Stock text line list is more. If the Packers are going to win a Super Bowl in 2026, which side of the ball has to be better? Like, has to be the, I guess I'll ask like this, which side of the ball has to be top five?
Why do you put me in this situation?
Because you're my co-host.
I know. It's annoying. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, probably defense. Because I think about so many games last year, like we talked about, if you want to specifically talk about the Bears games at the end of the season, like if their defense was just a click better. If they had Micah Parsons, you would have won those games. If you had Micah Parsons, you wouldn't have lost the last five games of your season, most likely, right? Because it's like, even if your offense kind of came out sputtering in the second half like they did so many times, you still would have been able to hold the other team to not score as many points, and you would have won. So I would honestly say that the Packers' defense needs to be top five rather than the offense.
I agree with you on it, because if you just looked, like, you're 100% right on that. I think that they're more likely to be top five on defense, too. You have Xavier McKinney, who's kind of viewed as a top 10 player at his position. You have Edgerrin Cooper, viewed as a top 10 player at his position. You have Micah Parsons, viewed as, like, a top three player at his position, probably top two. So
I just feel like there's other, like, holes, though. Like, you think about, like, Lucas Van Ness, and then you also add in the layer of, oh, Micah Parsons is not going to be playing for the first, seven or eight weeks?
Yes, but
that's,
like,
also...
Let's assume the Packers at a bare minimum tread water, and then they figure out how to get... So when you're talking playoff time, I think they got to be defined by their defense, because I think that's where their best football players are. But also, if you just looked at the North, so you look at Detroit. They have a new offensive coordinator. Will it work? Will it won't? I don't know, but they probably have to be better than last year's offensive coordinator, who was so bad he was fired midseason his first year on the job.
I don't think he was fired, was he? I think he, Dan Campbell just, like, took over responsibility.
Oh, then fired at the end of the year.
Yeah, where it's like...
Yeah. But anyways, so bad that that's what had to happen. So now you have Detroit, and I think their offensive line has at least improved over the year before. So their offense might be better than the year before. You have the Vikings... Like, Kyler Murray, I think, is going to be the guy who wins the job and should be at least a step up from the J.J. McCarthy-Carson Wentz combo last year. And then you have Chicago, who, yes, they lose D.J. Moore, and yes, their starting center left, but they acquired a starting center of, by all accounts, equal ilk, and they have young players to step in. And the bigger thing for Chicago is that all these players, all these young players, are now in the second year in this offense, which... historically, that's the year it's really going to click, because you're not learning it as you go. So all three of those teams could have top offenses, top 15 offenses, so you need that defense to be premier to compete within the division. Because if you flipped it, I don't think Detroit's defense is going to be top 10. Minnesota's possibly, because of Flores, and Chicago I don't think will be top 10 either. They don't have a pass rush. And last year, Chicago's defense was terrible. That's why they were all those one-score games, is that they couldn't stop anyone. And I don't think it got a lot better. So I think the Packers...
Other reasons, too.
Right, but mainly they couldn't stop anyone. They had one of the worst defenses in all of football last year. So that is part of why I think the Packers' offense doesn't have to be great to compete, because I don't think the defenses in the North are as good as the offenses are in the North. And so if you have the best defense in the North, the Packers, I think, do... you have a better chance of winning the division, because your best is going against their best.
When was the last time that the Packers were defined by their defense?
I don't know defined by, but when they won the Super Bowl, their defense was really damn good.
That was when I was thinking. Yep. Like, seriously, that was the last time that I was
thinking. They had Aaron Rodgers, and so obviously the offense was going to define it, but that defense had Clay Matthews, who was a dog. They had Charles Woodson on that team. They had other players, but those were the two that stand out. And that team was really good defensively.
For reference, the Packers last year were number 12 defense ranked overall.
Yeah, so I think top five, they are top five defense. I think they're going to be in the NFC Championship game as long as that top five defense is playing together in the playoffs.
Vikings were three, for what it's worth.
Flores, I mean,
yeah.
Flores should be a head, I mean, he should be a head coach.
And, 100%.
And honestly, Flores is a little bit like what I think the best type of defensive coordinator is. His is a little different because... he's got things going on with the league, so I don't know if he'll ever be a head coach again. But the defensive coordinator who has proven they can't be a head coach but is a proven good defensive coordinator are the best ones to have. So you look at Chicago's Dennis Allen. He's still maximizing the lack of talent they have in Chicago, because they did come through in moments when they needed them. You have Brian Flores, and then now the Packers with Gannon. Like, I don't think Gannon – he's not going to get a job opportunity in 1 year.
Yeah.
So – a couple years of him, you might have guaranteed, because it was so bad at Arizona for him.
Yep.
He's going to have to earn his way back. So having a guy like that, that it's not like the Dennis Allen or Dom Capers types where it's like, you're never going to be a head coach again. You can be here for as long as you're good. But Gannon's probably got a good couple years. He has to build up his reputation. So if he's good, you're going to have him for a little bit.
Are the Packers a Super Bowl team with the Vikings coaching staff?
Yes.
Like, without a doubt?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's, their Super Bowl team.
I don't know about that.
I think Brian Flores is incredible. Obviously,
Brian
proven defensive coordinator.
O'Connell, I think, is
Kevin O'Connell and Matt LaFleur.
I think they're very similar. But I do think that Kevin O'Connell is just that tinge better because he has been able to make chicken soup out of chicken poop.
Maybe, but
and with Matt
LaFleur,
I kind of think he makes chicken soup into like chicken poop a lot of the times. Don't clip that.
I don't know about that. Brian Flores also can't stop Micah Parsons' ACL from tearing.
Like, yeah, but Brian Flores is unquestionably.
Also, Brian Flores is a better defensive coordinator than Jeff Hafley ever was, and he would have been able to figure out maneuvers in order to make that defense still not just like hanging on by a lifeline, which I think that the Packers defense actually didn't even have a lifeline by the end of the season. I hate Jeff Hafley. That hate is such a strong word. I dislike Jeff Hafley so much because there were so many. I don't understand the hype around him, and I'm so curious to see how he does in Miami in his new role. But like, so much of the Packers' lack of success lands on Jeff Hafley, and he does not get enough hate for that.
Why?
For what it's worth.
Why do you say that?
Look at the teams that they lost to. Look at the teams that they couldn't stop. Like, I go back to the game against the Ravens.
The Ravens
put up, what, 38, 46 points, something like that? Like,
Derrick Henry ran all over.
Yeah, and you knew that was the only person that you had to stop was Derrick Henry. They had nothing else. And what happened? Like, so that's one that I go back to. I mean, obviously, like, the Broncos game was tough. Like, the Packers offense obviously came out different, too. There was a Christian Watson injury and, obviously, Micah Parsons' ACL in that game. But
is there a game you can point to before Micah Parsons gets injured that you put the blame on Jeff Hafley for losing?
I honestly can't remember their schedule last year. The only games from the beginning of the season that I remember is the Browns game because Jordan Love threw it away.
Jeff Hafley should have done something. I agree with Molly. Should have done something when Parsons is out. You make that change. As I talked about before, Flores has done this, and I know that Chicago did this too. When they started losing players or hurt players, they had to figure out a way to manufacture the pass rush, and they found the right times to do it, and they came through in the right moments to win these games, even though they were lacking the talent. And I don't think Hafley did that. He didn't find a way to unlock some sort of important or effective pass rush when Parsons was gone.
I think in spots he did consistently. Is that more on Jeff Hafley concocting a creative blitz for every single down?
So let's put it like this.
Or is it Lucas Van Ness and Rashawn Gary not able to do jack squat?
Is it Jordan Love's fault that the Packers blew two out of the last two games against the Bears in the fourth quarter?
Not totally, no. But part of the blame, like part of the pie, does fall on him.
So how much of the pie falls on the defense and Hafley?
More so than the offense.
I would hate to be a Dolphins fan.
Split it between Jordan Love, Matt LaFleur, defense.
Let's go.
What's your pie chart of blame?
Pie chart of blame. I believe, what, Scalzo and Brust used to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go 5% Jordan Love. Not much is on him, I don't think. And then 55%. LaFleur, so that's 60, 40.
That's insane. That's insane that you don't blame the defense.
I would blame.
Are you kidding? I would blame Keyshawn Nixon before I blame Jordan Love. Well, or give Matt LaFleur 55%.
I would give 70% to the defense and then split it 15% to Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur. Because
like,
they didn't finish
him off. I understand what can all Jeff Hafley do when you had guys like Rashawn Gary and what we think Lucas Van Ness is. But also, aren't you terrified to see what Rashawn Gary does with the Dallas Cowboys? Like, I am almost scared to see what he does. I don't think he's going to be hated. Yes, okay, 100%. And he also hypes up Lucas Van Ness, which makes me terrified of what Rashawn Gary might do in Dallas compared to what Lucas Van Ness is going to do here. And I only had this epiphany like last week when I heard like Rich Eisen or something talking about Rashawn Gary. And I don't know why, but I just started thinking that because I was like, oh my God, what happens if Rashawn Gary just pops off and just like proves that the Packers were the bad situation here? But I am 100%, I fully agree with you. Micah Parsons absolutely hated Rashawn Gary and he is like loving and hyping up Lucas Van Ness. But now, because of that hype, I'm like, Lucas Van Ness has to now outperform what he's been doing and he needs to outperform Rashawn Gary. Like, I'm going to be keeping tabs on Rashawn Gary this next season. And I've been the biggest Rashawn Gary hater for like what it's worth.
I'll also keep tabs on Rashawn Gary. I don't think it'll be necessary because he's not going to be tabulating many stats.
All right. The Dane County Fair is back this weekend from Thursday through Sunday. check out the Dane County Fair at Alliant Energy Center here in Madison. Rides, animals, and fair food you love. Right now, caller number...
How about caller? We had a lot of callers for Minute to Win It. Let's go caller 25.
Holy Toledo,
caller
you're trying
number
to work.
25 wins a 4-pack of tickets to the Dane County Fair. Caller number 25, 844-770-3776. Caller number 25 wins a 4-pack of tickets to the Dane County Fair. And if you're heading out to the fair on Friday, make sure to find the ESPN Madison team and say hi. DaneCountyFair.com for a full schedule. I'll actually be out there on Friday as well. Probably not with
Friday?
The ESPN Madison team. I don't have it in front of me. Friday hasn't historically been a kids' day at the Dane County Fair.
So the
kids get in free. This is how it's been. I have not checked this year, so hopefully that's the case. But that's how it's been forever.
Is there other fun things usually?
Yeah, there's like BMX bike riding and different things that kids would find entertaining.
Cool.
On a Friday.
I might go this year. This will be my first time.
Yeah, you definitely should. All right, this is caller number
25.
Wins a 4-pack of tickets, 844-770-3776. Sometimes this royalty-free music gets me because this sounds like a real song.
Yeah, this sounds like late 90s, early 2000s. Like, this song would have been in, like, Scooby-Doo. Do you know what I mean? Rubber Raggy. You totally hear it.
Zoinks!
What was that? You have... the best impressions. Like, I am so
Jesse
excited
Nelson's
to have
got nothing you. Jesse Nelson has nothing on you. That's what I'm trying to say.
You were about to diss Riley without dissing Riley on accident.
Yeah, I didn't want to do that. I don't want to hype up Jesse Nelson, who's like comedic hero is Frank Caliendo.
Okay, Frank Caliendo is funny, though.
Was funny. Like, he had a moment.
Well, I mean, he might be like 85 years old now. I have no idea. But, like, he was funny.
He's like Jeff Foxworthy and the others. It's like, yeah, that was neat.
Yeah, you got one bit.
Yeah, I was like, I'm kind of over it now. Jeff Foxworthy, you might be right.
Jiminy Christmas, how old do you think Frank Caliendo is?
I don't think he's that old.
No, how old do you think he is?
52.
Holy crap, right on the dot.
Wow, okay.
Right on the dot.
Like, my thought was like, I feel like he's a little bit older than me.
Okay, I thought he was like 65, for real.
Yeah, he's been around for a while. But does he still do anything as far as like, it was a funny thing for a minute. I mean, obviously, on Fox, he's part of like the NFL thing.
That I don't know if he still does that. He joins like Willie and Tausch like at least on a yearly basis.
Like once a year, I think. He has like an annual appearance.
For sure.
I feel like that get is easier each passing year.
That is
Why are you hating on him?
I like Frank Caliendo though.
I do too.
Like,
he was funny, but now like it gets old. Like the impressions. All right, I got it.
I feel impressions
like
can
Jay Farrell
timeless.
We had in here.
Yeah, Jay Farrell was one of the funniest dudes I've ever interacted with.
Right, but he did impressions, but he was also funny.
True.
Frank Caliendo just does impressions.
Okay, I get what you're saying. So I would say Jay Farrell is definitely funnier than Frank Caliendo.
Frank Caliendo's very good. He's like Jeff Dunham with like he does the puppets.
He's the puppet guy, yeah.
Yeah. Like, okay, I got it. This is what we got now. It could be like a pepper and talk with an accent.
A pepper?
Cool. Yeah.
What's a pepper?
Huh? Peter Pepper picked a pack of pickled peppers. Let's hear from Kyle Wallace, who has some thoughts on the Bears and the Packers.
It's so embarrassing. I mean, that's absolutely embarrassing. What's so funny is that Bears fans swear up and down, oh my gosh, we're always in your mind. That's all Packers fans think about. And I done told y'all for years that the Chicago Bears – winning a Super Bowl is something, of course, they would love to do, but they understand how bad they have been for so long. Winning a Super Bowl was out of the realm of possibility. So what they did was they lowered their bar to their Super Bowl came every year where they had two shots at it by simply beating the Green Bay Packers and Colston Loveland, who is just a rookie. He's only been with the team for a year, and he lets everybody know, that the Green Bay Packers are the northern star for the Chicago Bears. That's what they aspire to be. That's what they aspire to judge their success of the season off. Not just winning in the playoffs, but no, beating the Green Bay Packers is not only on the players' minds, it's on the coaches' minds, it's on the fans' minds, and it's on the owners' minds. And I know for a fact that Chicago Bears, as an organization, will lose, have a losing season, but will brag about the fact that they beat the Green Bay Packers. That is absolutely embarrassing. While Packers fans and Green Bay Packers as an organization are focused on being a championship organization, Chicago Bears fans and their owners are focused on beating the Green Bay Packers. That is so embarrassing, and he said it out loud. That's what they're...
So what's embarrassing is you're bringing that argument up when you've lost 3 of 4 to the Chicago Bears. And Kyle, I know we're all fans, but the fans have nothing to do with it. The Chicago Bears organization, yeah, the Packers used to matter. They used to be the Kings of the North. They used to be the team that you had to beat to be able to win the North. And that's not the case anymore. And the argument of the Packers are rent-free in the Bears' head doesn't hold any water when the Bears have beat your ass 3 out of 4 times, including the division and in the playoffs. So I get it. Normally it works. And you did. You were in the Bears' head because you used to be dominant. That's not the case anymore. If that's what you want to hold on to, Kyle, grasp it. But also, don't misrepresent. I know for a fact the Bears organization would be happy if they beat the Packers and had a losing season. Show me your facts.
Okay, but you did also say that it has been incredibly important to
it
the McCaskies and all the different things.
If they had a losing season and beat the Packers.
But if they beat the Packers, they'd be happy.
It would sting less. They're still not happy. If they win 5 games and they beat the Packers once.
I don't know how you can say that as if like it's a fact. Just like Kyle can't say it. I don't think you can either on the other side.
That's my whole point, is that he can't say it as a fact. You're right. I won't say it as a fact otherwise. We'll say it as unprovable.
Okay, so what I'm getting here is that I am more like Matt LaFleur than I expected here, because hearing the way that Ben Johnson talked at the beginning of last year whenever he got hired, cringy. Hearing Kyle talk like that, cringy. I can't. I am more like Matt LaFleur because I will just tuck my head and say, let's just see how it plays out. I hope my team wins. I'm not going to be the gloat in your face when my team beats your team. Mm-hmm. And so I am just resonating with who Matt LaFleur is as a person, because I am like anti how Kyle approaches things, because I'm just like, can you please just stop? Because as soon as the Packers lose the Bears, that is going to get clipped and sent all over social media. And now it's just going to be, I'm going to die of secondhand embarrassment that you did that. You know what I mean? So I understand he hosts a radio show. I understand that's what we all do for a living. I get it.
Well, I want to make this about
LaFleur. So like, ugh.
So going back to LaFleur, what are you okay with then how he handles things? Because obviously,
are you asking me if I'm okay with who I am as a person?
Yeah. Do you want to coach the Green Bay Packers? Would you be a good coach of the Packers?
One of my strengths is being a relator to people. So probably, because I think that being able to relate to your people is makes you a good coach. However. Do I want Matt LaFleur to be like that? Yes, because I don't want him to be cocky. I don't want you to be a jerk. I don't want you to be trashy.
However, I
want you to motivate my team. I want you to say that you want to kick the Bears' ass. I want you to say, hey, remember when you guys lost? Remember when we lost last year 2 times within like 7 days of each other to that damn team down south? Let's not have that happen again. Let's kick their ass. Like, I want that kind of mentality, just not out to the public.
Yeah, that's I'll give you that. But let me ask you a question you got to answer truthfully. And Riley, you can hop in on it too. If Ben Johnson was your coach, you probably actually would be pretty in on it if the results are coming too.
Yes, if the results are coming, and especially with how the Bears have been beaten down, obviously, you're going to rally around that. They needed something to rally around. I think what I want as a Packers fan for Matt LaFleur to do, yes, exactly what you were saying, Molly, preach that in the locker room. Don't let it ever come out in the public. Beat the Bears twice and then be sickeningly nice about it. Just be grotesquely over the top nice about it and respectful to the point where they can't stand it.
Come with kindness.
I would love to see that. Like, over the top, though, where you can tell they don't mean it.
So one thing that's worth noting, or I guess I'll ask the question, from my view, it mattered, and this is a credit to Aaron Rodgers, because he got his ire up every time. It mattered to him to beat the Bears every time, to the point of the way you talked about it. Honestly, Molly, we stumbled onto something here at the end. That's what the Packers are missing. The Packers need to give a damn about beating the Bears, because Aaron Rodgers did, in the same way the Badgers gave a damn about beating Minnesota. That even if you're the one doing the beating over and over again, you don't want to be the guy to give it up. And Aaron Rodgers never wanted to be the guy that lost to the Bears, the I own you, and all that stuff. And Bakhtiari is because they knew they didn't want to be the ones to let go of the death grip they had on the Bears. Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur let go of that grip.
Couple times. They'll get it back.
Maybe they will. It's just the grip is loose.
We'll see.
We'll be back at it tomorrow.